called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes to the church of God that's in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. This is the way Paul greets the Corinthian community, this mixed up bunch of Christians, if you know the rest of the story. If you know what he's going to write next, it seems a little bit incompatible, in a sense, that he calls them saints. Because he's going to talk to them about the fact that there are some among them that are not living up to that calling. That there are some dividing in this group and saying this group's better, or this group is better, or this group is better. And he's going to call them to a unity together in Christ. There are some who are disrupting the church. The eating and the gathering around the Lord's Supper is sort of messy, and it's not right, it's not reverent. And so he has all kinds of issues with the church. These are not perfect Christians, and that's true in all of the early churches. And yet, repeatedly, Paul uses this language every time he greets these Christian communities: to the saints of God, to the church of God, called to be saints. And here's why he can do that. Because it's not dependent on their lives or their perfection, but he believes in the God who is still at work in them. He believes in the God who has not just redeemed them once, but is in the process of continuing to redeem who they are as individuals and who they will be as a community. Together with all those in every place who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him in speech and knowledge of every kind. See, this is why Paul can be so bold and audacious as to call them the saints of God. Why we can be so audacious as to call ourselves the saints of God. It's not because of us, it's because of what God is doing in us and through us in Christ Jesus. Here is a God who is at work and alive in the world. Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite authors who I read from time to time and whose name and whose quotes often appear in other books that I'm reading. He's a longtime Presbyterian pastor and chaplain up in Lawrenceville School in New Jersey. He says, a saint's a life giver. A saint is a human being with the same sorts of hang-ups and abysses as the rest of us, but if a saint touches your life, you come alive in a new way. If a saint touches your life, you come alive in a new way, which is to say that we are surrounded by saints all the time. Not just on All Saints Sunday when we mark this day and we name the saints among us, but we look to their witness too. We've named people like John Knarr, who taught Sunday school in this congregation for many years. And I've talked to some of the youth who were in his classes. And it was his love that made God come alive in a new way for some of them. Or Elaine Zink, a saint from our church, Saint Elaine, that we just said goodbye to just a few months ago, just very recently, actually just last month. And Elaine lovingly used her hands and used her heart to stitch love into every cross stitch or to stitch it into everything she crocheted. And she left that love, that legacy of love, among so many people, among babies that were born and people that were getting married and friends who were sick and all kinds of ways that she spread that love. I was at the memorial service, or at least at the viewing, for Chris Young's mother, Madeline, just last month. And I was amazed to hear the story of a mother who had taken in 27 foster children and who at the age of 40 or 40-ish decided to adopt this one and raise him as her own and love him to life, Saint Madeline. You see, we're surrounded by saints all the time. People who make love come alive in the world and in us. And it's not that they're perfect. It's just that that love touches us and graces us because God is at work in them and in us. Now, the book that I've been reading with a lot of regularity, and it's one of those books, you ever have a book that you just don't want to end? You know, so you sort of linger through it. The book that I'm reading is where I came up with the opening reading of my sermon and also the sermon title today. The book is called Accidental Saints, and it's written by this Lutheran pastor. That's a Lutheran pastor you're looking at. Nadia Boltz-Weber. Now, she's not the most conventional Lutheran pastor. And you can sort of tell that. She's sort of had a hard life, and she tells that story openly and rawly and honestly. She talks about how she was redeemed from having a drinking problem and how the grace of God took hold of her, and lo and behold, one day she ended up a Lutheran pastor. And so she has a church out in Denver. It's called a House for All Saints and Sinners. Not a great name for a church. Wouldn't that be a great place where everyone would feel welcome? And she has a particular ministry. And not surprisingly, because of her stories and because of her past and the way she talks about faith, she has drawn a lot of people who don't normally step into churches like this, but who will go to that church because the grace of God is real and doesn't feel like it's up here. It feels like it's right here and present. Now, if you are of faint of heart and you don't like raw language, don't buy this book. She has been known to use language freely that starts with all kinds of letters that I can't even name in church. But if you can get through that and read into the hearts of these stories, these accidental saints that she encounters as a pastor over and over again, and the ways that she experiences and explores and finds grace in unexpected ways. It's a powerful read. I love the book because she writes as a pastor, and I get to do some of the work that she does among ordinary people, but we get the blessing of seeing just a seed here and a glimpse here and just a sign of God's presence here because of all of these relationships that we share. And so I find myself looking with her into these lives and, like Paul, saying, I give my God thanks for you, for all the ways that God is at work in you. She says the sting of grace is not unlike the sting of being loved well, because when we're loved well, it's inextricably linked to all the times we've not been loved well, all the times we ourselves have not loved others well, and all the things we've done or not done that feel like evidence against our worthiness. Love and grace are such deceivingly soft words, but they both sting like hell and then go and change the shape of our hearts and make us into something we could not create ourselves to be. That is to say that it's God at work in us doing these things, bringing grace alive in the world, bringing compassion and mercy and justice alive in our world through flawed people, accidental saints like us. She says most of the people that she encounters as saints of God aren't people who one day woke up and decided they wanted to be a saint, but rather people, in her words, who stumbled into it by the path of redemption, because God took them somewhere, because God did something in them, because God changed them. They became accidental saints along the way. I don't know how many of you saw the movie that was out last fall called Saint Vincent. Didn't do great at the box office. It did really well among the critics and like film festivals and things like that. It starred Bill Murray as Saint Vincent, or Vin, or Vinny, as he's known in the film. Now, if you were to look at the film, you would not pick this guy out to be a saint, because he is rough around the edges. He drinks. He smokes. He takes this young boy, Oliver, to the racetrack with him when he's supposed to be watching him in daycare. Teaches him how to fight, all kinds of things. Oliver and his mom move in next door, and he becomes sort of the unlikely daycare provider who would never pass any real screening. But the mom, Melissa McCarthy, who needs someone desperately to watch her son after school because she works at the hospital and she's trying desperately to make ends meet for the family, just needs him. And so she puts up with it, and an unlikely friendship forms. Now, Oliver goes to a local Catholic school, and one of the assignments they've been given by their very cool and hip progressive teacher is an assignment on the saints. And they've been studying about the saints, those with a capital S, the ones who have changed the world, the ones who have left their mark, the ones who have feast days and things like that. But the assignment is to look around the world, their real world, and to come in and nominate someone to be a saint. And so there's a big assembly, and Oliver nominates Vincent to be the saint. Take a look. Saints are courageous. They're compassionate. They make sacrifices. They are deeply flawed, as he says about his friend Vincent. And yet the saints that God is turning us into have the capacity to change the world and to change each other for good because of God's goodness working in us and through us. Who knows? Maybe you'll run into an accidental saint this week. Who knows? Maybe you'll be one. Maybe you'll be one.